Hi, everyone. This is Marion from the Talking Information Center, and this is the Brockton Enterprise for Tuesday, April 7th. The city of Brockton may raise trash fees 44% retroactively. Brocktonians will likely pay more for trash and recycling. Exactly how much is up for debate. The administration of Mayor Rodriguez, under pressure from the state's Department of Revenue to fix a budget gap, has proposed hiking the quarterly fee from $90 to $130. In return, residents would get bigger carts. Brockton's trash barrels hold up to 35 gallons. The new ones would be 64 gallons. The new barrels would hold 83% more trash, according to a presentation by DPW Commissioner Pat Hill. That means residents would have to buy fewer pay-as-you-grow green bags for trash that doesn't fit in the cart. Brockton's green bags cost $5 for a roll of four. The plan would be retroactive to July 1st of 2025. That means, in addition to the extra $40 per quarter, residents would get a side bill for the three quarters that will have passed by the time the new fees go into effect. Ward 5 City Councilor Jeff Thompson pointed out that that could be an unwelcome surprise of $120 in an upcoming quarterly bill. City staff are looking into billing that over multiple quarters to decrease sticker shock. Like many municipalities, Brockton runs its trash and recycling operations out of an enterprise fund. It's basically a business of its own under the larger city budget. But by law, such funds must pay their own way, and Brockton does not. The Refuse Fund is at least $1.3 million in the hole for fiscal 2026. The gap would grow to $1.6 million in fiscal 2027 if the city does nothing, Hill said. Taxpayers are on the hook, whether the money comes from the Refuse Fund or the city's general fund, said Troy Clarkson, the city's chief financial officer. The state won't certify the city's tax rate if the deficit continues. City officials say the deficit was decades in the making. From 2003 to 2024, the city charged $70 per quarter. During that time, costs like fuel, labor, recycling doubled or tripled, according to Hill's presentation. In 2023, city officials and politicians debated boosting the quarterly fee to $100. Instead, they wound up increasing it to the current $90 amid concerns over the cost of living. City councilors are hearing from residents about the proposed fee hike. They are not happy. I've gotten a lot of calls asking to say no to this increase, said Ward 4 City Council Susan Nicastro. At-large City Councilor Wynne Farrell said on social media that he has a no vote. The city could find other ways to close the budget gap. One would be for the city to stop picking up yard waste 42 weeks a year, cut the weekly bulk item pickup that allows residents to throw out one appliance or piece of furniture per week, or even close the city's recycling depot. Thompson, the Ward 5 City Council, said he's been asking residents whether they'd like to keep the 35-gallon trash barrels plus buying the green bags for overflow versus moving to the 64-gallon carts. People may be paying more for a barrel that they don't use, he said in the March 31st committee meeting. He also said residents have spoken, and they're split about the 50-50. He asked his city officials to consider a hybrid plan that would allow residents to choose. Hill said a department will work up some options. One expense of the new plan is ditching the 35-gallon trash carts, which were designed to encourage recycling. Hill said it would cost almost $2 million for the estimated 27,064-gallon carts needed. The citywide contract with Republic Services does not include the schools. Republic Services' contract costs $9.1 million per year. The city projects that cost to rise about 2% this year because workers on a public projects in Massachusetts get a minimum hourly rate of a prevailing wage set by the state. The Brockton Public Schools partner instead with Capital Waste Services for $350,000 per year, according to the school's most recent budget. Hill and Clarkson have been asked to review other options and present them at an upcoming meeting to the full city council. Along with spring, pothole season has arrived. The end of winter isn't all good news. It's also when potholes tend to turn up. The city of Brockton is encouraging residents to report any sightings of craters in the road as pothole season begins to pick up force. Please help the city keep the road safe by reporting potholes when you see them, the city said in a Facebook post. Report a pothole, save a tire. Pothole season tends to start around March, according to AAA's website, but heavy rainfall and extreme temperatures in the winter months can make for an earlier start. The city has a few avenues residents can utilize for reporting potholes in the area. They are the result of groundwater getting underneath pavement and freezing. If the water freezes, it will expand, causing the pavement to expand, bend, and crack, said AAA website. When the ice melts, gaps or voids are left in the surface under the pavement. As this process is repeated, the pavement continues to weaken. When cars begin to drive over this weakened surface, the weight continues to break down the pavement to the point where pieces of the roadway will come loose and be displaced. Once this happens, you have a pothole. There are three ways to report a pothole in Brockton, according to the city. Here's all the ways you can do it. You can call the pothole hotline. That's 508-897-1306. Or visit CClicksFix to report an online pothole at brockton.mass.us/online services. Or you can email the DPW highway at cobma.us. A house in Brockton sold for over $1 million, which is the highest on record. A custom-built cape on Brockton's west side, described as having all the bells and whistles, may be the most expensive single-family home ever sold in the city. This according to real estate agent who sold the property. Listed for $1,190,000 in November of 2025, the home at 10 Westbury Road in Brockton sold for $1,080,000 on January 28, 2026, according to real estate agent Greg Murphy, who sold the property. Murphy, a realtor with Lamakia Realty in Easton, said this is the highest recorded price paid for a single-family home in Brockton. The multiple listing service database did not show another single-family home selling for more than $1 million, he said. The closest sale was a single-family home at 50 Fairview Avenue that sold for an even $1 million on May of 2022. Murphy said his brother-in-law, a builder, constructed the home for himself about 5 or 6 years ago and spared no expense outfitting it with all the bells and whistles. Some of the features that make the home stand out, Murphy said, include an exceptionally spacious living room, a first-floor primary bedroom, and a 6-foot farmer's porch made entirely of granite, a detail he said he'd never seen in his 25 years of selling homes. It's kind of a wild thing that single-family homes in Brockton are selling for over $1 million now. It's kind of crazy, he said. When I listed the house right after Thanksgiving, the worst possible time to list a home, by the way, I was floored at the amount of activity at that price point. This is nuts, he recalled thinking. Murphy said the house was shown by private appointment and drew 17 potential buyers. Interest in the home was so great, Murphy said, he received 3 offers for over $1 million. Everyone loved it, despite the high offer, and sellers decided to accept the $1,800,000 offer because it was a cash deal. I was kind of surprised by how many millionaire buyers are just out there, said Murphy. Built in 2019, this custom cape offers 3,000 square feet of living space, 4 bedrooms, and 3 baths. The home features an open floor plan centered on a cathedral ceiling family room, where a gorgeous stone fireplace, 3 skylights, a ceiling fan, and a 9-foot wide white oak floors create an inviting space, while a lofted second floor overlooks the room, providing a full view of the area below. Everyone loves the open floor plan, Murphy said. A lot of people, as soon as they walked through the door, said, wow. The kitchen is a showstopper, featuring Thermador appliances, a farmer's sink, a pot filler, a custom hood vent, and an oversized island that seats 8. The first floor primary bedroom, which features a coffered ceiling, a custom closet, and an ensuite bathroom with a tile shower, was especially popular with buyers. There's also another first floor bathroom that includes a tiled pet shower. Upstairs, there are 3 bedrooms and a generously sized bathroom with a tile tub and shower. Additional highlights include a heated garage with oversized doors, whole house generator, irrigation well, and fenced backyard, according to the real estate listing. The March for Meals program highlights a support vital support for seniors. Old Colony Elder Services is participating in the annual March for Meals campaign to raise awareness about the importance of Meals on Wheels. The month-long campaign brings together local Meals on Wheels programs across the nation to spotlight the vital service they provide, according to a community announcement. Representative Lisa Field recently delivered meals to homebound seniors at Parker Terrace in Easton to highlight the program's impact. The support that OCES delivers to seniors in Easton is essential, she said, and the demand for those services keeps growing. It is a privilege to partner with OCES at Parker Terrace and see personally how the Meals on Wheels program positively affects lives while spending meaningful time with my constituents. The OCES nutrition program provides more than 599,292 meals annually to residents in 23 communities in Greater Plymouth County. Over 600 volunteers deliver more than 2,200 meals daily to homebound older adults. The program also serves meals at 18 community dining sites, offering opportunities for socialization and group activities. In March, we celebrate the successful history of Meals on Wheels and gather together to raise awareness in our community, said Nicole Long, CEO of OCES. With 12,000 individuals turning 60 each day, now is the time to spotlight this vital program so that we continue to provide nutritious meals, friendly visits, and safety checks to every older adult in need, enabling them to live healthier and remain independent in their own homes. We are grateful for Representative Field's participation in the March for Meals campaign, she said. By working together, we aim to keep older adults living independently, healthier at home, and feeling more connected to their community. The OCES Meals on Wheels program is always seeking volunteers to assist with meal delivery and friendly visits. Those interested in volunteering can call 508-584-1561. Donations to the programs can also be made to OCES website or by mailing a check to 144 Main Street in Brockton, 02301. Meals on Wheels is available to qualified Plymouth County residents age 60 or older who are homebound. To begin the qualification process, please call 508-584-1561 or visit OCES website. OCES has been recognized as one of the best places to work by Cape and Business Marketing for 2023, 2024, and 2025. The organization has been certified as a woman nonprofit organization by the Supplier Diversity Office. OCES, a private nonprofit organization with locations in Brockton and Plymouth, has been serving the community for about 51 years. It is one of 27 aging service access points and area agency on aging in Massachusetts. Again, I want to give out that number for more information. It's 508-584-1561. Classic rock is coming to Mansfield. Folk rock duo John Poussette Dart and Jim Chapdelaine are set to perform the Mass Arts Center, according to a community announcement. The concert is scheduled for 7 p.m. on April 12th at the Reservoir Stage, 888 South Main Street in Mansfield. A pre-show meet and greet will be held at 6 p.m. The duo will perform a mix of new and classic songs from the Poussette Dart Band's catalog, which spans several decades. The set list is expected to include radio hits like the 1979 single For Love and fan favorites such as Amnesia and Fall on Me. The latter gained popularity after being featured in the TV show Lost. Tracks from Poussette Dart's solo career, including selections from his albums Heart and Soul and Anti-Gravity, will also be featured. John Poussette Dart is best known for leading the Poussette Dart Band through a series of successful albums for Capitol Records in the late 70s. The group was one of the busiest touring acts in the country during its peak, sharing the stage with icons like James Taylor, Bonnie Raitt, and the Byrds, according to the announcement. Poussette Dart, the son of artist Richard Poussette Dart, has had a musical career that continues to evolve. The upcoming performance with Chapdelaine aims to showcase their guitar work and harmony in the intimate setting of the Reservoir Stage. The tickets are $40 with $75 preferred seating that includes a pre-show meet and greet. The tickets can be purchased online at massartcenter.org or by calling the box office, which is 508 508- 239-2822. The Mass Arts Center is a not-for-profit organization that runs the Reservoir Stage, the Morini Gallery, and the Academy at Mass Arts. The center offers a wide array of artistic programs, performances, and opportunities for aspiring and experienced performers, artists, and patrons from across the region. Programs are supported with grants from the Massachusetts Tourism, the Massachusetts Cultural Council, the MCC Facilities Fund, and the local cultural councils for Easton, Mansfield, North Attleboro, Norton, Sharon, Taunton, and Wrentham. New CVS locations will show a change in format. CVS has opened the first of its new apothecary-style pharmacy-only locations of 2026, with more to come. The drugstore chain announced the new store format on March 30th, saying it plans to open 20 similar locations across the country this year. These pharmacy-only locations, the first of which opened in 2025 in Birmingham, Alabama, will consist of full-service pharmacies that fill prescriptions and offer an assortment of over-the-counter products, minus the rest of the corner store supply typically seen at CVS locations. Images of the newly unveiled location in Chicago's West End shows a pared-down version of the CVS Pharmacy Center you're likely to be seeing at your local CVS vacation store soon. Instead of taking up just a portion of the roughly 3,000-square-foot space, the counter and accompanying waiting area are the main focus, looking not unlike the waiting area of a medical office. The purpose of these apothecary-style stores is to enable pharmacists to have more face-to-face interactions and consultations with customers. Our new pharmacy-only locations allow our pharmacy teams to continue to build relationships with patients, their friends and neighbors, and provide on-the-ground pharmacy care in communities that need us, said an Executive Vice President, Pharmacy Consumer Wellness, CVS Health, said in a statement. While it did not share the exact addresses of the 20 pharmacy-only locations, a press release with the format said it will expand to Houston, Detroit, Brooklyn, New York, and Roxbury, Massachusetts. The company also plans to open more than 40 new CVS pharmacy locations nationwide in 2026, including traditional stores and Target pharmacies. Details of exact locations were not available. Come next school year, the Plymouth-Bristol Regional Technical School will have a new superintendent. Andrew Ribello, assistant superintendent since September of 2024, was unanimously chosen by the BP School Committee to take over for Alexandra Megahels when he officially retires in July. Andrew said, "I'm honored, excited, and ready to go," upon conclusion of the April 1st school committee meeting. Megahels was told the Gazette he notified the school administration of his retirement in the fall of 2025. He declined to comment any further after the meeting about his retirement or Ribello's hiring. The school committee voted to move Ribello forward as the school's new superintendent director, pending contract negotiations. Ribello will be taking over as PB transitions into its new school building this fall. The BP school committee discussed on Wednesday, April 1st, whether to do a nationwide search for the next superintendent director, compete with an application and screening process and interviews. "I feel we owe it to our district and to the students to open it up and make sure we get the best candidate," said Michael Dolan, a committee member from Bridgewater. Other committee members who spoke up expressed worry and caution, not just about the long, drawn-out process of opening up the search beyond internal candidates, but also regarding the timing with moving into the new school building. "If we end up with a large search, the transition will be detrimental. It's not going to be a smooth switchover. I'd like to see someone with knowledge of our schools involved with the transition," said Edward Dutra, a committee member from Dighton. PB School Committee Chair Estelle Borges from Taunton said the district's attorney told her the school committee is under no obligation to conduct a search. She said the school committee is the hiring authority for the superintendent director. "It's up to this body to decide what it wants to do," said Borges. Richard Spader, a committee member from Berkeley, expressed his agreement with Dolan, supporting an advertised search for applicants. He also acknowledged Ribello sitting in attendance as an obvious and viable candidate for the position. Borges mentioned to Ribello asking him if he wanted to say anything directly to the committee. "Unequivocally, 100% yes," said Ribello on his desire to take over the position. Ribello said, "His entire career has set me up for this, and I'm prepared for the moment. Ribello said he believes the last year and a half at PB and all the meetings and interactions he's had with MegaHealth and the administration, teachers, and students have been the best learning experience for setting up this transition. He said he feels prepared to be superintendent and is 100% committed. It would be an absolute honor of my lifetime to be considered, he said. Ribello previously worked at Diamond Regional Vocational Technical High School in Fall River. From 2018 to 2020, he worked as assistant principal. He was promoted to assistant superintendent principal in 2020 and stayed in that role before transferring to BP in September of 2024. In October of 2023, Ribello was named Milken Educator Award winner. The award, known as the Oscars of Teaching, meant recognition as one of the most elite educators in the country and came with a $25,000 prize. Only a few months later in March, the Massachusetts School Administrators Association noted that he managed to lower suspensions at Diamond by 91% while increasing the graduation rate to 98%, the highest in school history. The group named him its 2024 High School Principal of the Year. MegaHealth had previously announced his retirement back in December of 2023, effective of December 2024. But in May of 24, he announced he was rescinding his retirement. MegaHealth did not offer a reason for the reversal at the time when the Gazette reached out for comment. In recent years, there's been friction between the Bristol Plymouth Teachers Union and the school committee over what the union has called a lack of transparency, as well as failure to include them in important decisions, such as executive hires. Prior to the April 1st meeting, the union expressed concern on social media over the lack of information it received about the nature of the April 1st school committee meeting. In an official statement from Bristol Plymouth Teachers Association, the body stated it had desired a collaborative, transparent process. This concern is not about any individual candidate, but about the committee's commitment to transparency and meaningful community engagement. The union said it has reached out to Borges, the committee chair, prior to the April 1st meeting, requesting clarity on the timeline and stakeholder engagement process for hiring a superintendent director, but received no meaningful response. The statement concluded, rather than reflecting an open, inclusive approach, this decision raises renewed concerns about accountability and the committee's commitment to the stakeholders' input. In a written statement, Borges responded, "In promoting Mr. Ribello, the school committee had the benefit of witnessing his leadership skills, passion for education, and dedication to student success for more than a year." She said feedback from the school committee about his performance over last year plus has been highly positive. Regarding the union's response and commentary on social media, Borges said, "I pride myself on encouraging transparency and public feedback. This was a public meeting that was properly advertised. The discussion regarding Mr. Ribello's promotion was held in public, and the public was provided ample opportunity to comment. Embarking on a costly and time-consuming bureaucratic search process simply made no sense when there was unanimous agreement on the school committee that Mr. Ribello is the right person for the job and will be an excellent leader. Next, a Reuters story, since we've covered the local news. Consumer mega deals make a rare comeback. Two blockbuster mergers involving U.S. food companies struck within 24 hours gate-crashed the ranks of the biggest global transactions of the first quarter, a feat not seen in a consumer sector in over a decade. The back-to-back recent announcement, Sysco's $29 billion agreement to buy JetPro Restaurant Depot and McCormick's nearly $45 billion deal to acquire London-based Unilever's food business, reflect a broad reshaping across the industry to address shifting consumer tastes, rising tariffs, and slowing growth. Spice maker McCormick's deal ranked second globally in the first quarter behind Amazon's $50 billion investment in OpenAI. While food distributor Sysco's came in seventh, the first time two U.S. consumer deals cracked the top 10 in the same quarter since 2015. This according to LSEG data. Such rankings are dominated by deals in sectors like technology and energy. Consumer companies really break through. The two consumer deals in 2015 were Coty's acquisition of Procter & Gamble's beauty business and the merger of three Coca-Cola bottlers, according to LSEG. Consumer mega deal making is not limited to food. Talks are ongoing between Jack Daniel's maker Brown-Forman and Francis Pernod Ricard, and between beauty company Estée Lauder and Barcelona-based Puig, combinations that would create companies worth tens of billions of dollars. The dynamics around spirits are different from soft drinks, which are different from food, which are different from beauty, said Jeff Welter, Citi's co-head on Boston North America investment banking coverage. A lot of the fast-moving consumer goods companies have come out of a period of high inflation that has been passed along to consumers that has impacted volume growth. So you're looking at alternative ways of growth, and that has been coming through consolidation. Mega deals across all sectors reached record highs in the first quarter, and several were cross-border. Becoming a more global company without overexposure to any single market offers a hedge in an increasingly volatile world market, participants say. Against that backdrop, for both McCormick and Cisco, their acquisitions were years in the making. Cases of a deadly disease are alarming doctors these days. A handful of children have been hospitalized for a potentially deadly bacterial infection, alarming some doctors about the possible return of a once-feared contagious disease that vaccines tamed. Serious cases of Haemophilus influenza type B, or HIB, once impacted 20,000 children in the United States each year. The disease spread through coughing or sneezing with respiratory droplets containing bacteria. Invasive infection included in infants and toddlers developed pneumonia, meningitis, septic arthritis, blood infection, and swelling in the throat, causing permanent disabilities and death in about 5% of the cases, or around 1,000 children annually. Older doctors have haunting memories of severe illness that they saw, of brain swelling and children suffocating. But as more parents skip routine vaccinations of their children, doctors worry HIB cases will return in force. Two severe cases in Florida's Beach Town hospitalization in 2025 and another two cases presented at a Tennessee research institution are sparking quite a bit of concern these days. We'll end today's reading with a little bit of history trivia. In this date, in 1862, Union forces led by General Ulysses S. Grant defeated Confederate forces at the Battle of Shiloh in Tennessee. And in 1922, Interior Secretary Albert B. Fall signed a secret deal to lease U.S. Navy petroleum reserves in Wyoming and California to his friends, oilmen Harry F. Sinclair and Edward L. Dehenny, in exchange for cash gifts. Fall would eventually be sentenced to prison on bribery and conspiracy charges in what came to be known as the Teapot Dome Scandal. And in 2022, Senate confirmed Ketanji Brown Jackson on the Supreme Court, securing her place as the court's first black female justice. And that's a wrap for today's Brockton Enterprise. Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you have a great day.